Hello, and thank you for joining the podcast Emergency Minute. Your host is an emergency medicine physician who brings over 20 years of experience in healthcare. Dr. Parente will take you through some of the trending topics and challenges faced in the ER and all of healthcare. Join in the fight against misinformation. And don't forget to follow on social media at Dr. J. Parente. Now, here's your host, Dr. John Parente.
All right, welcome back, everyone. How are y'all feeling? Welcome to this week's episode of Emergency Minute, episode 5. I cannot wait to get started and talk to you guys about some mysterious deaths from some vacationers in Exuma in the Bahamas. You're not going to want to miss this one. But first, as always, I need to show some love and appreciation to each and every one of you for the support. Much love to you. If it wasn't for you and your support, my entire audience would consist of my wife, my mother, maybe a few friends and some colleagues that I've successfully guilted into listening to me. So I truly appreciate it. Thank you very much. If you haven't had a chance to listen to last week's episode, why does my ER visit take so long? Please take a listen and check it out. You're definitely going to want to hear that as well. This week's show is sponsored by each and every one of you. So thank you so much. So remember to please share this on social media and help get the word out. And please don't forget to turn on the auto download feature on wherever you listen to your podcast. Happy to announce we're on all podcast platforms, Apple, Prime, iHeart, TuneIn. Most recently, we added Google and of course, Spotify. So thank you very much again. All right, this week's show is to discuss mysterious deaths of three Americans at a Sandals resort in Exuma, which is in the Bahamas, which by the way is fantastic. Of course, my disclaimer is I did not take care of these individuals, nor do I have any inside knowledge from Sandals, the clinicians that cared for these patients, or any other anecdotal sources of information. Furthermore, what happened to these individuals is a tragic story, and my heart goes out to their families. Lastly, I absolutely love Sandals. I am not implicating them for any wrongdoing whatsoever. In fact, I like Sandals so much, I just booked a trip to go to Barbados in the fall at a Sandals resort. So why on earth did I pick this topic for a podcast? For one, I was there at that resort with another couple just a few months before these tragic deaths. Also, my background training as a board-certified emergency medicine physician, it's just been my DNA anytime I hear of something that's unusual as far as like cause of death, definitely grabs my attention. But I think the biggest reason why this story just intrigued me is because I think they may have gotten it wrong. So here's the story. May of 2022, three American tourists were found dead in two separate but attached villas in Exuma in the Bahamas. They were all in their 60s. In the first villa, police found the male unresponsive and on the ground with a female companion in the room as well. They were then directed to the second villa where a female was found in bed and the male was found slumped against the wall in the bathroom. Also unresponsive, it was reported that they had shown possibly signs of convulsion and that there was no evidence of trauma. At a press conference a few days later, it was stated that all three individuals had been feeling ill the night before with symptoms of nausea and vomiting. One source said that they had been seen by medics. Another source said that they went to a medical facility and they were seen by doctors. So it's a little unclear what level of training the initial care provider had that saw these folks to begin with the night before. Now, there was the fourth victim who was actually flown to a hospital in Florida and survived this tragedy and does present some clues to what happened. According to a report from ABC News, the victim's son stated that his mom couldn't move, that her arms and legs were swollen, and she couldn't move, so she yelled to get someone help to come to the door. So for my medical students, nurses, residents out there, what could cause this constellation of symptoms? We know these four people were all in one building, yet two separate rooms. It appears that there was at least weakness, if not frank paralysis, by the description from the victim's son of not being able to move. We know that there was nausea and vomiting. Okay, not a great clue because that goes with just about everything else on earth as far as any other pathology. We know that there may have been seizures, but that may not be completely accurate because a lot of people get fluid in their mouth after cardiac arrest, so that doesn't necessarily mean that there was quote-unquote convulsions as stated in the one report. We also have to think it would be some sort of toxidrome, right? You can't just have multiple people that coincidentally go into cardiac arrest with such proximity in rooms being right next door to each other. So what kind of toxins do we think about? In 2015, 25 travelers died in Costa Rica and another like 50 or 60 were hospitalized. And this was deemed to be from tainted alcohol, which had toxic levels of methanol, which is a wood alcohol, which is not supposed to be in your margarita. That's called ethanol. Sometimes in countries where the ethanol is taxed, at a, either a high rate or what is perceived to be a high rate. You could say that some of those people may be guilty of trying to dilute their ethanol, which is the drinking alcohol, with things such as water or, in bad cases, methanol. And that's what causes really bad things. But this wouldn't make any sense in this case because this would have led to hospitalization, severe vomiting, eventual end organ damage, like people going into liver failure, kidney failure, etc. And this was like clearly not the case in Exuma. All right, so what about carbon monoxide? It certainly would explain many of the symptoms. What are the symptoms of carbon monoxide toxicity? Headache, dizziness, nausea and vomiting, weakness, chest pain, shortness of breath, and even confusion. But carbon monoxide poisoning in the summer? That's pretty rare. Usually we see this in the winter months when people are using things like space heaters, stoves, hot water heaters, poorly vented fireplaces, other gas or wood burning appliances. Can you become paralyzed from carbon monoxide poisoning? I suppose it's possible knowing what the carbon monoxide toxicity is, essentially a displacement of the oxygen molecule from the hemoglobin by the carbon monoxide molecule. So what does this mean for my non-medical people? Imagine the hemoglobin's a car. It drives around the body to deliver oxygen and nutrients to all the cells and organs and tissues, keeping them alive. It also picks up the trash and takes that out on the way and keeps those cells and those tissues healthy. If the car has carbon monoxide and it doesn't have any oxygen, carbon monoxide really has no intrinsic value. And then that tissue and those organs start to starve and they start to die. And the toxins build up, aka the trash. And this is called lactic acidosis. Or if it gets real severe, metabolic acidosis. Now, I've never seen a case of paralysis from this. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I've never seen it. I did have a patient once who was working on his car in a garage, had carbon monoxide poisoning. The neural symptom that he had was partial loss of vision. I think one of the main reasons we never see paralysis or worsening neurosymptoms in this case is that typically patients will feel so awful with vomiting, shortness of breath, things like that, that they'll come to the hospital. But I do think it would be possible to become somewhat paralyzed if enough of the CO molecules were displacing the oxygen, causing that tissue death, making it difficult for someone to move, as was stated in that initial ABC News interview. But what about another possibility? What about pesticides? What about organophosphate toxicity for my medical folks? Can you tell me the common presenting symptoms for that toxidrome? Yeah, vomiting, diarrhea, weakness, tremors, confusion, and seizures. Now, another thing could be bradycardia, which is slow heart rate, but it could also be tachycardia depending on where you are in the constellation of symptoms and the progression of that toxidrome. Has anyone seen the movie The Rock with Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery? Yeah, I have. Love it. The nerve gas that is depicted in that fictional movie functions in the same way. It's a cholinesterase inhibitor, just like the pesticides. Could this explain these patient symptoms? Absolutely. And the part that's intriguing to me is this paralysis, or at least this partial paralysis of the surviving victim. This would also explain why several people in a very close proximity were impacted by this. Perhaps they had a larger dose. Perhaps it was a more concentrated amount near that particular villa. Or maybe they had their windows open and there was a problem with the air conditioning unit. Maybe everybody else's windows were closed and so that they weren't affected the same way that these four people tragically were. So how do you diagnose organophosphate toxicity? Good luck. It is purely a clinical diagnosis. I once had an attending physician in my residency program who constantly told me, Parente, if you don't think about it, you won't diagnose it. And in this case, he's 100% right. Pesticides are typically odorless, essentially colorless, don't show up on a single lab test that we do. This would be an extremely difficult diagnosis for anyone to make freestanding urgent care at a resort. One thing we know for sure, having been there to this particular resort just before this tragic event, is that this resort does not mess around when it comes to pesticides. They literally had golf carts fully loaded with gas-powered devices that were just like dispersing pesticides into the air and would cover the entire resort with this thick pesticide fog every night around dinner time. No joke. Listen, I hate bugs. Mosquitoes, the itching, the scratching, everything that goes with them. They go to great lengths to prevent this from happening for their guests. And kudos to them for that. However, I've been all over the world. I've never seen anything quite like that. I remember standing there right before dinner time where there's just like this pesticide fog covering the entire resort. Could this have played a role in their deaths? I think it's possible. The case was ruled carbon monoxide toxicity. And this is what led ultimately to asphyxiation and cardiac arrest. So did the healthcare professionals miss this the night before? That's hard to say. And that's even harder to be critical of them when I didn't see what they did, what the symptoms were, what tests they had ordered and things like that. And not to mention what they had available to them at a resort. I have no idea. But I think the one thing that I will tell you about carbon monoxide toxicity is the only way on earth to diagnose carbon monoxide toxicity is if you think about it. And that's hard because you can't just get lucky and stumble across this diagnosis. Look, if someone's super anemic and you get a blood count, you're like, oh, wow, look, they're hemoglobin 6, they're super anemic. You can get lucky and be like, find something wrong. But you're not going to get lucky and stumble across somebody's carbon monoxide level. Like, you have to order that a specialized test, right? So even if like you had a pulse ox, it's probably going to be normal with carbon monoxide toxicity. And even if they had an ABG, which I don't know that they did, an ABG in arterial blood gas is going to show a normal PO2. So the only way to diagnose carbon monoxide toxicity in this case is with a specialized ABG that measures carboxyhemoglobin levels, or with a specialized carbon monoxide detector similar to a pulse ox that you put on your finger that measures the carboxyhemoglobin levels that way. I would bet money that the resort doesn't have either of those tests. I will also bet money that the resort subsequently does after the fact. So look, did they get it right? Short answer, probably yes. I don't know. I wasn't consulted, obviously. They don't care what I think. Know that they didn't spare a single resource. They flew in toxicologists from all over to investigate this. They ordered specialized testing. There were autopsies. So I'm sure those medical professionals have way more information about these particular individuals and these cases than I do. What I do know is that both of these diagnoses would be extremely difficult to make, both while someone was alive or even postmortem. There are parts of this case, though, that just don't add up for my simple emergency medicine mind. Why did the surviving victim have partial paralysis? If the CO levels were so high they were causing paralysis, I would expect her mentation to be so severely depressed that she would be like completely unconscious. Why also would there be carbon monoxide toxicity in the summer? That's extremely rare. What heating device was being used in the Bahamas in May? And just mathematically, you are far more likely to have pesticide toxicity than carbon monoxide toxicity. And the deaths annually are 10 to 20 times higher worldwide for pesticide toxicity. So my takeaway from this case is that you should always travel with a board-certified emergency medicine physician. I would gladly go with you, someone that's a psychopath like me, thinks like me, and probably one that drinks like me too. I will gladly go on your next trip. I'll sample all the drinks that the resort has to offer and just in the name of your safety. But in all seriousness, my heart again goes out to the families of these victims. My hope is really that this podcast can raise some awareness for those who are on vacation when these symptoms do arise. And maybe for those that are listening that are in the medical field who might consider this diagnosis in a future encounter, maybe on a resort, and save somebody's life. So thanks again for joining us. Please don't forget to comment and share on social media. Dr. J. Parente, leave a review on Spotify, Apple, Google, or any other platform. Join me next week for another show. And as always, peace, love, and happiness to all my brothers out there. Cheers, guys.
Thanks for joining us this week on Emergency Minute. Join us next time for more hard-hitting discussions on some of today's issues in healthcare. Don't forget to leave us a review on Spotify or follow on social media at Dr. J. Parente.